This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Britain's prime minister meets at the White House today with President Bush. Tony Blair wants the president to do more to fight poverty in Africa and global warming. Blair is not expected to succeed, as NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from London.
When it comes to the issues of aid to Africa and global warming, Tony Blair's speeches take on a tone of intense personal conviction. That goes as well for his finance minister, Gordon Brown, who spoke yesterday about his visits with impoverished African families.
We talk of children and their life chances, and I just met a child that had none.
Blair and Brown proposed doubling international aid to Africa and waiving interest payments on the poorest country's debt. They compare the effort to the Marshall Plan that helped rebuild post-war Europe.
If we could together help not just one or two or ten, but hundreds, then thousands, then hundreds of thousands and millions of children. If we could, with all the power at our command, working together, collectively change the way people see poverty, then what a different world this could be.
The Bush administration has publicly questioned whether Blair's African plan will get the aid to the people who need it. It doubts the scientific evidence of global warming and shuns the Kyoto Protocol on reducing carbon dioxide emissions. Former British Foreign Secretary Robin Cook says getting Washington to change direction will be tough.
I don't think anybody realistically expects that President Bush will sign up to Kyoto. What we do need to hear from, though, is how, in other ways, the United States can come in and play its part in cutting back on emissions of the greenhouse gases and stabilizing the climate change. After all, a quarter of all greenhouse emissions come from the United States. It's simply not possible to achieve the stability in the world climate without it.
Still, international relations expert Michael Cox of the London School of Economics says that Blair's international image might actually benefit from a little transatlantic difference of opinion.
In fact, you might be quite cynical and say that some disagreement with Bush now over Kyoto, over Africa, might serve Blair's purpose rather well, because at least he can now say, I have clear leadership credentials on these two big issues. Bush won't go with me. I shall lead alone. But don't ever call me a poodle again. Don't ever say I'm an American lapdog.
With Gordon Brown poised to succeed him after his third and final term in office, Blair is in legacy-building mode. He'll be in good building position in the coming months when he assumes the presidencies of both the G8 group of industrialized nations and the European Union. John Rentel is a political columnist with the Independent newspaper and the author of a book on Blair. He says French and Dutch voters' recent rejection of a proposed new constitution for the EU also strengthens Blair's position.
Because the Franco-German leadership of Europe is now set back, Britain's position as a leading power in Europe is now much more secure. And therefore, Tony Blair goes to Washington much more as a representative of the center of gravity of Europe.
Blair survived last month's election, even though his support for the war in Iraq cost him much of his majority in Parliament. Rentel says Blair's priorities could help him mend ties with his traditional Labour Party supporters.
Africa was always an issue which he latched onto whenever he had trouble with his own party, because it's the sort of thing that left-wing members of the Labour Party in this country automatically assume is a good thing.
When the leaders of the G8 meet in Gleneagle, Scotland next month, protesters plan to converge on nearby Edinburgh to pressure the leaders to tackle poverty. Blair and Brown have signaled their support for the demonstrations, deflecting pressure away from themselves and onto Washington. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, London.